Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to zoom into our anchor scriptures. Our first reading is the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 8 to 15. The book of Daniel, the chapter 1, verse 8 to 15. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God has brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. The number 10 stands for what? Wholeness, complete. So it was a very prophetic time he gave them. And at the end of the 10 days, their futures appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Hallelujah. Our second reading, the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We are still on that very scripture, verse 14 to 17. Stand therefore, let's take from verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. If you are using a hard copy Bible, take note of this word, withstand. In the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see, there are two different words. I want you to take note of them because it's going to be very important. And if you've received my message today, you see that these two words were key words. So we're going to follow it. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above or do what? Taking. So you see now the word take is going to be consistent over here. What's the first one? Taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The next one. And take the helmet of what? Salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Our last reading, we're all going to read together. James chapter 4, verse 7. We're all reading together. James chapter 4, verse 7, a very popular scripture. How did he say? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. One more time. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It pleased the Lord that today we bring to an end the sub-series, The School of Warfare. And the last message today we are looking at is still on the matter of put on the whole armor. And today is the part 3. Hallelujah. In as much as time is not on our side, it's also very important to establish context of operation. So the first thing I want to do today is to make sure that we are able to follow through on the concept of warfare from the very beginning to where we have gotten to. So I'll bring some sort of summary to the entire sub-series in a short while. I want you to follow me and I want you to pay rapt attention. Hallelujah. So, Father, we commit ourselves into your care. Let your word be established in our heart, cause to become light on our path, and a lamp unto our feet in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the beginning of, or in the middle of this year, or in the third month of this year, or second month of the year, if I'm very right, I don't know, I don't remember very well, we started the journey of warfare. And in the first sub-series, the whole series we are looking at is called We Are at War. And the first sub-series, the focus of the sub-series was to establish the reality of warfare. It is believed that there are many believers or Christians who walk around and think that there is nothing like warfare, because Christ has conquered it all, Christ has done it all. So that mindset makes people think that they do not have any thought of being oriented in the matters of what? Of warfare. So our first sub-series was to get us, or to help us to what? Appreciate and acknowledge the realities of warfare in the life of what? Every individual and the believer as well. So that is what the first sub-series did. Now we moved on from the first sub-series, and we came to the second sub-series, which is called the School of what? Warfare. Now that having admitted that there is war and everybody is exposed to war, what then do we do? We found out that there is a school of warfare, and we discovered that from David. He said, the Lord has taught my hands what? For war, and then my fingers for what? For battle. So he established that even as the most proficient warrior that the entire nation of Israel has ever had, David is considered as the most proficient. He made it clear that his ability to execute war and battle was because God trained both his hand and his what? And his fingers. And I said that those two concepts that he put over them means effectiveness and efficiency in what? In warfare. Now, this is the reality of life. There are certain war and battles that should not prolong beyond certain what? Time frame, or prolong beyond certain time space. But because of lack of efficiency and effectiveness, you can see that a battle that's supposed to take a month or two, a believer can be in that battle for years. I hope you know that. Are you following me? Do you know that there are certain things, for instance, if we had decided to come by foot to church today, how many of you would have been able to make halfway of your journey? How many of you? For those of us from Kaswa, I tell you that we should have started 3 days ago, believing God that we will get here at by 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. today. Are you following me? So, but now, thank God for technology. Thank God for vehicles. And even vehicles, we have kinds of vehicles. As I was saying, now you could see that we're able to get here even more closer than the usual time because of the means we ought to engage. And that's what efficiency and effectiveness is about. So it is not about only realizing the concept of warfare. It is also knowing how to be effective and efficient in warfare so that the devil does not take advantage to prolong your battles. Because if he cannot stop you, he will delay you. And one of the ways he is able to minister delay is to prolong warfare. So if there's a warfare that has been initiated in your life concerning, let's say, barrenness, and by workings of heaven, you're supposed to happen this way. If you are not very efficient in the things of warfare, the devil will prolong it. And you will not be the first he has done that to. He did it to the people of Israel. The Bible said that God told Abraham that the people shall be in captivity for a particular period of year. And then out of that, I'll bring them out of captivity. It means that there was a timeline on which God wanted them to go through a captivity. But it was prolonged. It was what? Because the person supposed to act with efficiency and effectiveness was not what? Ready yet to be prolonged. Then came the days of Daniel, when Jeremiah prophesied that the people of Israel will be in captivity for what? 70 years. What happened? It also what? Went beyond a time limit. So the devil is good in prolonging things. And how we can be able to cut those things or not become victims of it is that we learn to be efficient and not effective in warfare. So David said, my hands have been trained in battle, my fingers for what? For war. Therefore, how do we become efficient? Number one, the first thing that we learn in the school of warfare, I'm helping you to follow, is that to be efficient and effective in warfare, you must know how to profile your enemy. So we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. So if that, and one of the things you have to understand is that fighting an unknown enemy is a wasted battle. You will not win. When you are fighting an unknown enemy, and that is one of the things the devil is very good at. When he is not found that he is the cause of what is going on, That is where his strength is. Are you following? So fighting an unknown enemy is already a lost cause. You are just fighting the wind. It's just like you boxing out the wind. Because you don't know who you are dealing with. So the first way to be efficient and effective in warfare is to what? Profiling out of the enemy. Who is behind the whole scene? So we look at the message called out. We walk in the flesh. But we do not what? War against the flesh. So the whole concept is that our warfare is not carnal. It's not with individual persons. We are dealing with spiritual forces. And we have to understand it from that place. Are we there? The second lesson in the school of warfare to make us efficient and effective is that if we have been able to profile the enemy, it is also equally important to know the reason, the purpose for which he's coming after you or he wants to come after you, and the schemes by which you will do it, the method. And that is what we call the wiles and what? Devices. Apostle Paul said, "For we are not ignorant of the devices of what? Of the devil, lest he takes advantage of us." So it means that in your ignorance about the reasons for which he's attacking you, in your ignorance, in the purposes of his attack, is his advantage. So we looked at the matter of what? Wiles and what? And devices. Now, having realized his wiles and devices, how then do we deal with it? That is where we came to the concept of what? Weapons and then what? Armor. So the weapons and the armor is to help us to deal with the what? The wiles and what? And the devices. And this is the whole summary of what? The second episode that we have done. So I believe that if you have thoroughly gone through this whole school of warfare, the basics of what I've done so far, there shouldn't be a time in your life that warfare should prolong beyond its time limit. You must be able to master to be able to deal with the devil whenever he raises his head. On time. And execute matters or not on time. Are we on the same page? So today we are bringing to an end the concept of what? Efficiency and effectiveness in warfare. Are we on the same page? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you here? Yes. All right. Now, on the armor, we started something. I just want to quickly move on into today's message. Last week, we started looking at the armor as an aspect of what? That believers what? Spiritual what? Posture. Is that not so? Now, let's go back to the concept of Ephesians chapter 6, the verse 10 to 17. Inasmuch as the central discussion in Ephesians chapter 6 from the verse 10 to 17 is on armor. You could see that he was more focused, or the armor was what was more much focused on. There's a theological revelation of how warfare should be what? Approached. Now, the first thing that Apostle Paul established was the concept stand. Somebody say what? Stand. And that is what we handled last week. What does the stand mean? A stand means to remain firmly established in the position God has given you, rather than being moved, displaced, or caused to what? Retreat. So the whole thing we did last week is about this very concept, what? Stand. In other words, the first three armor answers the question, how must I be positioned to stand? When the believer learns how to put on and keep the armor of God on, the first three armor of God on, he or she is now properly positioned to what? To stand. So the first understanding Apostle Paul established on the matter of spiritual warfare, the theology of spiritual warfare, is that stand first. Have your spiritual posture out right. And that is possible when you have the armor of what? Righteousness. The armor of what? Truth. And the armor of what? The gospel of what? Of peace. When these three things are not on, and you have not kept it on, then first of all, you are already going to lose that battle. Because you don't have what? A spiritual what? Posture. And the posture is that you are in a particular position. You are standing on a particular what? Ground. On hot ground. On what are you standing to be able to what? Confront. Are you on the same page? Now, the next one is what today's message is centered on. It's called withstand. Withstand simply means what Apostle Paul said, to be able to withstand. Let's go back to the verse 13. Watch what he said over there. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. What are you withstanding? In the evil day. And having done all, stand. Withstand simply is spiritual self-defense. When the believer learns to stand, gains a spiritual posture, the next thing is how the believer can be able to defend him or herself spiritually. Not that a pastor, not that a prophet, not that someone else is going to do that for you. How do you learn to defend yourself? Now, it is just that in our culture, there are certain things we take lightly. But you see, these things that we have started teaching in school called karate, what other things are they teaching now? Not the language. Those, they call it extracurricular activities. Now we have the karate in it. What taekwondo. And those things, the taekwondo and karate, the whole motive is to teach the child self-defense. Self-defense. Okay. So, to withstand means to stand against something that is actively coming against you. Now, I'm going to explain this, so follow me. To withstand is to stand against something that is actively what? Coming against you. Here is the whole thing. In the message we dealt with last week, what it was trying to establish is that the believer's pursuit of spiritual posture is because there are active enemies, which are, number one, the world. John chapter 17 verse 14. He said, the world hates them because I gave your word to them. It is a funny thing to think that the world is your friend. You see, sometimes when people think that we speak against some of these activities of cosmos, it's because we hate people. No. If you have received God's word, the world will not love you. And when we enter into the place of the battle for the next sub-series, you see, the next sub-series will be concentrated on how, in details, how the schemes of the devil works. How it works on your mind. How the world is being used to exploit you. That's what we are going to be doing. The world is never your friend as a believer, and it will never be your friend. That is against scriptures. That's why John instructed us, do not love the world nor the things in them. And you even control yourself. If you love the world, then the love of the Father is what? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of what? The world. Never think that the world will like you. The believer, this is something that you have to be conscious of. Ghana economy doesn't like you. Never think that if you don't fight for your place, we don't fight for our place politically, eh? To be there and see to things, they don't like you. Are you with me? Good. So the pursuit of the believer's spiritual posture is because, number one, there are enemies, or the primarily is because there are enemies, which is, the first is what? The world. The second is what? The devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober and vigilant. Let's continue. Your adversary, what? The devil is roaring like what? A lion, looking for whom to what? To devour. So your enemies, who are in to what? Steal, to kill, to destroy, are active. You have enemies. So what does the pursuit of posture mean in this concept? It means that it is an act of wisdom to find the best place you can stand in anticipation.
manifestation of the appearance. The fact that you have not suffered certain attacks of the world doesn't mean that it will not come. Are you with me? The pursuit of the believer's spiritual posture is because we are anticipating an active enemy. Who will come? That is the act of vigilance. So Peter said that, be sober and be what? Be vigilant. So the believer is pursuing posture, your pursuit of righteousness. That is the, as I spoke last time, holiness. It's not because of it, but you are in vigilance, in an expectation that one day, an evil day will come. As Ephesians 6 verse 13 said. So you are looking for the best place to what? To stand when that day what? Comes. It is an act of wisdom. You see, the first point of losing battle is when you allow your enemy to determine the ground for the battle. If you have watched Asian movies very well, one of the best strategies that a commander will give is to determine where the war what, will take place. Most times they want to be on the top. Are you all following? So when you don't pursue spiritual posture, righteousness, you don't pursue the gospel of peace, you don't pursue, what is the other one? I want to know if you're following me. What's the other one? Hey, Heidi. Don't pursue truth. What happens to you? You don't have ground. And it means that you also have no sense of considering that there is an active enemy looking for you. And when the day of evil comes, you'll be found wanting. Are you there? So that is what the posture. So the reason why we are looking for a place to stand is because we are expecting an active enemy who will strike at any time. So we are always in anticipation, knowing that we are the best ground. On Christ the solid rock I stand, whilst other ground is sinking. Are you following? So that is the aspect. But the question now, in the concept of withstand, is that when the enemy comes, or what happens when the enemy actually confronts you? The first three armor you put on you is to get a ground, anticipating the enemy. Now, when the enemy comes in person, now it has come. What do you do then? That is where the concept of what? Withstand comes in. So, withstand is when there is an active engagement, there's confrontation. You need something to be able to deal with that situation. So, he said to be able to withstand what? An evil what? Evil day. So, the first three armor gives you the best position to stand. The other two armors that follow, what it does is that when the enemy now appears in reality, you have what it takes to be able to deal with everything he's coming to you with as a confrontation. Are we on the same page now? That's what we are looking at. Now, if that is the whole thing, then the concept of self-defense or to withstand what comes in. So now let's look at the definition of self-defense. Now, self-defense means responding appropriately when an enemy attacks. I said the concept withstand means what? Self what? Defense. Spiritual what? Self-defense. So the believer has what? A spiritual what? Posture, and has a spiritual what? Self-defense mechanism. Now, when enemy comes in person now and he starts to do his own thing, how do we respond appropriately to what? The attack. How do you respond appropriately to an attack on marriage? How do you respond appropriately to attack on your finances? There are two different things. Are we on the same page? How do we respond appropriately to attack on your children? How do you respond appropriately to the attack on your businesses? How do you respond appropriately to the attacks on your health? These are confrontations that the devil will come with. And I believe that dealing with the devil on the matter of finance will not be the same way as dealing with the devil on the matter of barrenness. So the self-defense mechanism here is to understand that when the devil comes, by the armors you have put on, there should be an activation to deal with whatever is coming with appropriately. Are we there? Now, how do we deal appropriately with the devil? There are two ways. So last week when I was talking about the posture of the believer, the standing, I said there are four dimensions to what the standing. Is that also? Now, what about the spiritual self-defense? There are two dimensions to the spiritual self-defense. The first one is resist. Resistance. Every spiritual self-defense system will reveal what? Resistance. The ability to what? To resist. So, the believer who has a strong spiritual self-defense system, one of the things you will see in the person's life is what? The ability to what? To resist. Are we there? Are you with me? Okay. The second one, which is an expression of self-defense, spiritual self-defense, is what we call resolve. You see that the person is so resolved in what he's doing, you can't move the person. So therefore, when a believer is able to withstand a situation, there are two things that worked in that system. Number one, the believer had a resistance. The believer is what? Resolved. If you don't have resistance and you are not able to stand resolved, you cannot withstand. You will fall. Are you on the same page? That's why the devil will always come to check the things that. That's why, see, that's why I tell you that when we are at war, you have to mind the things that are very appropriate in dealing the warfare. Now let's look at it. What does it mean to what? Resist. Let's take the resistance. Are you following me now? So now you understand withstand is different from stand. Stand is take a position in anticipation of an enemy. Withstand is what? Readiness to what? Confront immediate attacks. Or self-defense. Responding appropriately to what? The attacks of the devil. Self-defense. And every believer must learn self-defense. I can't. That's why it's called the word what? Self-defense. Do you know why it's important? It means that there's a time that your pastor will not be there. The one who will cover you will not be there to cover you. What happens at that day? Eh? What happens to you on that day? And you know, self-defense is a right. So now let's look at resistance as an expression of what? Withstand or spiritual self-defense. James chapter 4 verse 7. The first step in spiritual self-defense is what? Resistance. James chapter 4 verse what? 7. Resistance is an act of opposing, standing against, or refusing to yield to a force that is trying to overcome, control, or move you. Whenever we say that the believer is resisting or you are in the mode of resistance, it means that you are opposing, you are refusing, you are standing against, or you are doing everything, refusing to yield to a force. Listen to it. Underline what is what? A force which is trying to, number one, overcome you. That means to what? Dominate you, to control you, or move you. Now, one thing you have to understand as a believer is that as you pass through this world, there are three things that you always have to confront on every day. Things that will want to overcome you, things that will want to move you, and things that will want to what? Control you. So you have what you call the trending system. They are meant to control you. Yes, they are meant to control you. Some people are so addictive to phone now that if you ask them to put this phone aside for one day, they'll die. Mind controlling system. It has become so bad that they have to carry a whole social media platform, the owner, to court. And now they prosecuted him to the point that he has agreed to out of court settlement of a tune of almost $10 billion. Is that also Facebook? That Facebook has become a mind controlling and addiction to young children that they have to prosecute the owner. So on your daily basis, your life, what you are doing, if you check it very well, there are things that want to control you. They want to tell you what to wear. They want to tell you what marriage is. They want to tell you how to become rich. What age? Now they have even defined it for some of you. That when you are 25 and then you don't have a car, you are not ready. The father, at what age did he build a house? But he's expecting a 26 years boy, 27 years boy, to own a 2-bed apartment at East Legon, own a banks, own this before he's ready to marry. So when you talk of a marriage material, a guy, now the mind controlling system they are giving you is that he must have a car, he must have a house. So you are putting pressure on the innocent boys now that they are resorting to all forms of life. controlling systems. And those that want to overcome you. Eh? Ghana economy wants to overcome you. Are you with me? Are you following now? Now, it is resistance that will help you to survive. Resistance. Self-defense. Nobody will do it for that. That's why you see, there are certain things, no matter what, it doesn't matter how much I pray for you, it will not work. You must learn to survive on your own. We are in a jungle. Every survivor of the fittest. We are in a jungle. This world is a wild world. A very desperate jungle. Eh? The weak will be fed upon. And everybody is all thinking of themselves. Each one for himself. God for us all. So you can't blame me. Because I'm also fighting that which wants to control me. That which wants to overcome me. And that which wants to move me. I pray for you. May you have the fortitude to resist. Every day something wants to rule over you. Every day something wants to dominate, dominate and rule over you, overcome you. Something wants to enslave you. Something wants to tell you what to do, how to live your life. So subtle. Now, these things I'm saying, it's so serious that if you see how people live their life, to belong these days, that is what to belong. There are certain things you must not subscribe to. But I pray that you will not allow it to control you, resist that. Amen. Therefore, in simple terms, resistance is the force or action that prevents an opposing force from advancing or prevailing. Resistance is the opposing force. You come at anything that wants to make sure that it advances itself or prevail over you. And that is an armor that God has given the believer to use. And he said, take it up. Now, how does the believer resist? Through faith as an armor. Faith becomes an armor. Listen to me. Faith remains faith. Let me treat you. That's what I said. There are certain concepts in scriptures. They have many expressions and dimensions. Faith becomes an armor when it's able to help you to resist. Faith. The moment your faith has gotten to the point, are you listening to me? That you are able to resist things that want to control you, things that want to overcome you, and things that want to move you, is now an armor. Until then, your faith has not become an armor yet. So the faith principle, as you see it, it is the same thing that can unlock things from heaven for you. Are you with me? But it also, as an armor, God also gives you a sword, an armor. Another functioning of faith is to be an armor. And in the part of being an armor, it should be able to stand against anything that wants to prevail over you. So in the resistance is what? Faith. So in James chapter 4 verse 7, he said, I submit to God. That means that let God rather be the one controlling you. Let God be the one rather determining the move of your life. When you do that, look at it. There's a full stop. Therefore, submit to God. That's an instruction, nothing more. Now, when that is done, all they say, resist the devil. And what will happen? It is either you control the world or the world control you. Some of you, something is determining the day, the time you sleep. And the time you wake up. Yes, it's true. Some people. Something is determining the time you sleep. When the Bible says he gives his beloved what? Rest. I pray for you that you have rest in the name of Jesus. So faith becomes an armor when it's able to resist. What does it do? When faith becomes an armor, watch what it does. It absorbs and extinguish what is being launched against you. The Bible calls it what? Quench. Quench what we call the fiery what? Darts. So when faith becomes an armor, it's able to absorb and extinguish. You see, the things that are killing people that is not killing you is because you have some absorbers, shock absorbers, spiritual shock absorbers. It doesn't move you. So you are you not feeling it? You are not feeling it. Why? There are shock absorbers, there are extinguishers that when the fire blows out, they quench the fire. I pray for you. May your faith. You see, there are things that the devil is throwing at us, eh? What are the things? Let me give you one. Faith absorbs and extinguish attempts, pressures, temptations, attacks, and schemes. I don't have time to explain all this, but you know them. See, what will make a Christian sister not to succumb to a pressure because of job opportunity, because of traveling, because of the pressure they are putting on you is faith. It's not hard life. It's faith. What has God said to you that you have believed, that has come a reality to you, that has made you so resist, so strong that it doesn't matter what men are saying, you look up onto what is ahead of you. That is the extinguisher. That's the absorber. Self-defense number one, ability to extinguish and absorb. Resistance. Faith. So you can have faith, but it will only become an armor. So when we look at your faith and you are able to, oh, now you have an armor. Hallelujah. Now, get this very well. Self-defense or spiritual self-defense is about protecting your position from being penetrated or damaged. Listen very well. When the believer is established on Christ, what self-defense does is to make sure that that position is not penetrated and be not damaged. We call it what? Shipwreck. Paul said that some have what? Shipwreck what? Their faith. So the devil can penetrate and cause a shipwreck. So spiritual self-defense is to make sure that it's not penetrated. For this defense to be possible, you need a force of resistance. And that is where faith comes in. Hallelujah. So therefore, faith is an expression of resistance as an armor that keeps the believer from surrounding ground during what? Confrontations. Oh, I give in. I'm tired. So, let me give in to this married man. Oh, I'm tired. So, let's sign the document. It's just only 3 zeros. It's just only 3 zeros. Are you following? It's not that much. 3 zeros. That is how you give up. You give up your ground. You see, you have lost that moral ground for God. The devil, anything that the devil wants to let go, give in, is because it is very important. It takes what? Resistance. It takes what? And that is what faith what? Does. Do you have faith? Let me see it as an armor. If a believer says he has faith, let me see it as what? Faith is not only about claim and receive. Faith also, so the Bible said that by faith, Moses forsook the treasures of what? Egypt, and embraced the wretchedness of the cross of Christ. Can you just imagine? You, if you are the son of, let me even come down to Ghana here, Ibrahim Mahama, and they ask you that leave your father's house and everything and come, you say that this is the devil speaking. Leave the cast. Leave all the deep, like the whole thing is that you are completely cutting your identity. You have refused and denounced your identity, that you are no more a son. You have nothing to do with him. Nothing. So completely lost everything. You are coming to live and walk on desert, eating manna whilst they are like eating gari and sugar. Whereas at that time you have a platinum card. You can go to any kind of restaurant in Ghana here. You will tell me that voice is not God. Because God gives his beloveds what? Rest. But David saw something. Moses saw something. Moses' own is like, I don't know, but I'm yet to. We can even talk about it as the prince of the land of England, UK, the kingdom. He forsook it. because he saw something.
I don't know what pressure that the world is pressuring you. But until you are able to control your environment, you dominate your environment, you stay unmovable, then your faith has become what?
An arm. Hallelujah. Amen. Second one, resolve.
Withstand.
The second expression of withstand, spiritual self-defense, is your ability to what? Stay resolute, resolved. Resolve, by general definition, means a firm determination to remain committed to a decision or course of action regardless of what? Opposition. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. In simple terms, resolve is having a firm inner determination not to give in to that force.
See, the first place of losing your ground is when your mind gives up.
In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, watch something here. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. The first thing was that he was resolved in his mind. Are you following me? Before he even took an action. Whatever you have not resolved, you don't have the inner determination, you have not conceived and determined in your mind that you will do, you cannot do it.
Resolve.
We said that a believer is in living the life of being resolved when he or she has settled determination. Has a what? A settled determination to remain faithful to God, his word, and his spiritual position regardless of the enemy's pressure. So, one way to measure the concept of resolve is faithfulness. Otherwise, consecration. When God said, do this, and everyone else is doing something else, and he said, because God said I should do this, I will remain in it. That is all you are being what? Resolved. And it's an expression of what? Withstand.
Every battle is fought in the mind first. That's why battles start with words. No battle has started without words. For
every battle starts with words.
Check it out.
There is something that the enemy will send to you, mental picture, to intimidate you. Why is it that these so-called occult and spiritual people must dress to look scary for them to be able to do what they do? Are you following what I'm trying to say? It's a thing. It's a mindset. Because what you see is a gateway. When you are able to see what they want to, they are trying to say about themselves, they are able to put fear in you. That's why you see that they boast a lot. If the devil does not boast of what he does, he cannot get you to what? To fall flat.
Are you following? Do you know who I am? I killed so so and so.
I did this to this person. You are see what this person's life is. I'm the spiritual person. I am this and that and that. Those things are to paint a mental picture. It's targeting your mind to make sure that your inner conviction will be watered down. You break you down. For a lady to give in to a pressure of what she doesn't want to do, it takes what the mother and other close friends continuously say to her to change her mind. Oh, there's nothing wrong being a second wife. Didn't you see this person doing it? There's nothing wrong of being this. After 4 years, why not you? Why can't you? Why shan't you? Add all the adverbs.
Yes. Can't you see? Your brother is doing the galamsey song. Is this person not your mate?
Didn't you go to the same school with this person? Oh, haven't you come across those kind of stuff? Eh? Afa fo nyina na awono. Afa fo nyina toka. Afa fo nyina eden esidan. They start to shoot those things at you. They are words. And then they keep on repeatedly saying them. What makes you to take a stand? Your ability to withstand all those things that are coming to you, those words, is being resolute. You are resolved. Faithfulness. And this is only possible when you know what God has said to you. So a believer can only become resolute when he has come to understand and know what God has said to him. Let's quickly move on. How the believer become resolute? The believer become resolute through the armor of what? Salvation. We call it the helmet, right?
Yes.
Helmet of what?
Salvation.
Salvation gives the believer a consciousness of who he is, what Christ has accomplished, and what God has secured for him. These three things are important. Now, when they said those things, do you know they are trying to define your identity? You know that you are a priest and you are a king. You know that you are not poor. The Bible says you became poor, that you become what? Rich. You know that you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Is that not so? You know that God has given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. These are things that are real and true. The only way you can be able to stand against the things they are telling you, that look at your colleagues, they are doing better than you because of what they are doing, and you're not giving, is because you stand firm in what you are, in what Christ has accomplished for you, and what Christ has made provisions for you for. If the believer's focus is not on heavenly things, it's not on the things that has been secured in the kingdom, that is salvation. Salvation simply is what has been secured for you. If the focus is not on these things, wahala. Are you on the same page now? Good. Therefore, when the enemy attacks the believer or attacks the believer's thinking with fear, condemnation, doubt, and confusion, and hopelessness, it is the helmet of salvation that helps the believer to maintain his salvation consciousness rather than allowing the attack to redefine his reality. You see, the madness of confessing positivity in negativity is because of the helmet you have. When you know that the thing you are dying, but he said, I will not die. It's not working. But you say it will work. Because God says so. You see, that affront to say so, that this will work, is not because you are doing positive confession. No. Something is helping the positive confession. There's a helmet protecting the spiritual consciousness of the believer. Sound mind. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it said, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding, that man can never have. I want you to understand that scripture very well. It transcends all understanding. It means that there's not any dimension of understanding that can come close to that peace. So what men cannot understand, you easily understand, because it's guiding your heart and your mind. It's a helmet. It's on the head. So when men are confused about your life, they can't see the beginning and the end. You see, let me tell you, some of the worries of our parents is because they want the best for us. It's not that they are evil. They can't see the head and tail of your life, and they are worried. But it will take the helmet of salvation to make sure that when those things are coming, confusion, hopelessness. See, there's a time in your life, this thing, in fact, you look hopeless. Nothing is working. All hope is lost. Recently, somebody said something to me, and I understood hopelessness. Said, I am not writing application letter anymore, because I have written over 60 applications in 1 year. Not even one has called me. You don't understand hopelessness. I'm showing one. You look so hopeless. Now this situation, it's like it is what it is. What will make the believer to continue in the things of God, knowing that God has said it and it will come to pass, is because that believer has the helmet of salvation. He always remembers that I'm the child of God. My Father will not watch my life crumble. That's what salvation does to you. Salvation, the Spirit of God, you always see that. See, the Spirit cries in us, Abba, Father. So when the devil comes and then one day the Spirit in you will cry, you are still the child of God. And you are not going to watch. He said, if he did not withhold his own son from us, how much more? I want to let you know, this is what the helmet of salvation does for you. That is why you must always, always look onto the things, hold on to the truth. Because there are situations of hopelessness that are coming. There are situations of confusion. When you are saved, and you are truly saved, the evidence is that he's able to protect you when there's hopelessness. So your salvation becomes an armor. When it's able to protect you, it's able to keep you in that situation of hopelessness, keeps you in that situation of confusion, keeps you in that situation of fear, then that is when your salvation has become what? An armor. Salvation is not a badge we carry around. At a point, it must become an armor. And I pray for you that your salvation will be an armor. When you are confused, that armor will protect you. Your peace will not leave you. When you are in trouble, when it seems hopeless, I tell you, there are hopeless situations. So, hey. Am I the only one who has hopeless situations in my life? Sometimes you ask yourself, ah, God, did I offend you? See, sometimes you can sit down and want to. Then you start to ask, 5 years ago, did I do something wrong? Sometimes you confess things you have not even committed. You just confess things you have not even committed. Because the situation looks so hopeless. All you can say, Radejime. There are points where you cannot even pray again. All you can say that your will be done. See, some those kind of prayers, it's not because is it the thing looks so hopeless that they basically then. We give thanks to God in all things. But you see that a believer will remain resolute in that situation. And the reason is that because the salvation now is not just a badge. It's not just a name he carries around. It is an armor that is protecting the mind, that the confusion, the heat, the mind is kept safe. There's no, they can't reach the mind so that they will what? Prevail. That they will prevail. The mind is protected. The mind of Christ. So the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. That mind is protected. You are continuously protected. So as much as they are pressing you, the fear is coming. It seems the business is almost crashing. Businessmen, women will understand what I'm saying right now. A day that their business looks so hopeless. One of our elder recently, I called him, Elder Nimakon, who is into contract. 1.5 years now, no one contract. you don't understand. How does he pay rent? How does he take care of his? But it takes resolute, resolved in himself, determination that I will not stop doing what God has asked me to do. I pray for you. May your salvation become an armor. Let your salvation become an armor. In the mighty name of Jesus. Last one, advance. So from stand, we go to what? We stand. And then we do what? Advance. I've already treated advance, so I'm just going to quickly go on. Advance is where the armor, or let me say, we move beyond the armor on just absorbing attacks. And do what we call counterattacks. And the sword of the spirit represents that aspect, which is what? The weapons of what? Our warfare. When the enemy is coming at us, the Bible didn't ask us to only stand there and do self-defense. We also have to counterattack. In Matthew chapter 4, you find out that Jesus was also doing a counterattack. The enemy is coming for your ground. You also take his grounds. When the enemy wants to attack your grounds, you also take his grounds. Counterattack. That's all the word does. Hallelujah. Amen. So the believer is able to answer and counter the devil. Whenever you are quoting scriptures against situations, see, sometimes you are there and when you are going to a situation, a word of God will drop in your spirit. And you see, it will be boiling like something and you begin to confess it. And you scream it out. You pray it out. Do you know what you are doing? It is a counterattack situation. So the theology of spiritual warfare is that we stand to withstand, to counterattack. The wiles and the devices of the devil. May you have that strength to stand, to withstand, and not counterattack. Now, how do we put on the three armors left? Quickly. So, the believer's armor is not complete until there is a weapon attached. Get it? That is why Paul mentioned the sword of the Spirit. It's a representation of the entire armor of warfare. A representation of what? The entire weapon of the believer's warfare. The believer's armor is never complete until there is a weapon attached. How do we put on the other three that I mentioned? Shield of faith. Believe God's promises above every circumstance. No matter what. That is why you have to pray. See, the visions that God gave you is a promise. If you don't know God's promises, take the Bible. Go and search. You even now, thank God for technology, right? Just type, what are the promises of God to the believer? List them. Believe it above any circumstance. That's how you put on faith. If you don't believe God, that's the word of God. If you don't believe God, that is it. You believe God's promises. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Number 2, hear and meditate on God's word. Meditation is an important tool in putting on faith. Meditation. Listen to messages. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. So faith comes by what? Hearing. The second hearing is what? The meditation. The hearing of what? So make it your habit to listen to message, to meditate, read, listen to message, read godly, spirit-filled Christian literature. Meditate. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Number 3. Act on what God says. Make sure that every action you take is what God has said, His word. I always say that when a believer wakes up a day and the actions you took is not rooted in the principles of scriptures, then you are out of line. And in this world, it's either you are living by faith or fear. It means that what you did was grounded on what? Fear, not faith. The reason why you have your quiet time every day is because what principle am I surviving on for today? That's why you have quiet time. Because we live our life. The life of the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. So what, where are we stepping today? Act on what God says, not what you think. Act on what God says. Psalm 77 verse 11. Helmet of salvation. How to keep it on? Sorry. How to keep faith on? Continue trusting God during trials. Continue trusting God during what? Trials. James chapter 1 verse 2 what? To 4. See? Trust. It's very important thing. Absolute confidence, trust. Absolute confidence. Absolute what? Confidence. And I told that confidence is in what? The capacity or in the what? Experience. What the person has gathered. You know that God has done it before, so you know He can do it. When you have confidence in something, it's because based on the proof of records of that thing, you know that it will work. Yeah. The reason why you take this phone and dial a number to call is not trust, it's confidence. The confidence is that it has track record. The reason why you spend, how much is an iPhone 16 Plus now? Why are you tapping Elder Martin? I believe iPhone 16 Plus should be around 7,000, 8,000. 12,000. Then that's China. What I mentioned is China. Forgive me. Why would you take money of an amount of 12,000, 13,000 to buy such a phone? It's confidence. Confidence in the software of Apple that it can deliver what exactly they said it can deliver. Now, trust here is that the trust over here is that you always believe that anything you are using the phone for, it will work because you believe you are confident in what it is. When we say we trust God because an absolute confidence in Him. How do we have confidence in God? His track records. So I always say, what God has not done before, I will not be the first you use as an example. So if God has not ever failed any man, I will not be the first He's going to use. That is the confidence I have in God, and it's absolute. That makes it trust. That's how faith works. So when God says that, go here, you are going because of an absolute what? Confidence in Him. You trust Him. That's why you can do things that people say is nonsense, until the time they realize it's not what? It's not nonsense at all. You knew where the source of the information was what? Coming from. Next one. Refuse unbelief and fear. Very simple. Refuse it. That one, nobody will do it for you. You have to what? Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Third one, remember God's past faithfulness. How to keep your faith on is you always remember. Meditate on the faithfulness of God in your life. Psalm 77, verse 11. Helmet of salvation. How do we? Now we know that you put on the helmet being salvation through faith in Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. Number two, we embrace our identity as God's child. You have to embrace it. As a Christian, you must learn to embrace. Don't be trying to be like one to what? Sakodia. Jumeto. No. If you're a Christian, be out. Embrace it. Full what? Christian with chest out. Embracing means is what we mean to embrace means that you that is who you are. And nothing else will define you. So everybody will see you as what? God's child. Embrace it. Don't just confess it. Embrace it. Let that become what you ought. You become. The third one. Set your mind on the hope of salvation. Hope of what? One of the most important things that keeps the believer in hopelessness is the hope of salvation. And this hope of salvation is talking about the eternal redemption of the believer. That even if I don't get this in this time realm, a day will come, I will be with Christ 1,000 years, I will enjoy it. If that is the way you think, nothing in this world will let you compromise. If I don't get a private jet today, I am not moved. I know that 1,000 years is coming that I will reign with the king on this earth. That private jet, I'll get it. Somebody enjoyed it for only 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. But I am promised on the hope of salvation that I will enjoy some 1,000 years of reign on this earth. And reign, the word is what? And what? Reign means that I have control over everything. So what I don't get today, I know that I have 1,000 years to benefit it. So I will not compromise. Why should I compromise for 20 years when I can stand and get 1,000 years? This is what makes the believer able to put on what? The helmet of salvation. You don't compromise. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 8 for this point. How to keep it on? Guard your thoughts. How to keep your helmet on is what? Guard your heart, your thoughts. Don't be very careful of what you feed on. Philippians 4 8. Reject condemnation. Don't let anything or anyone condemn you. Whom the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Keep your hope fixed on Christ's return. That is why we keep preaching the message that Christ is coming. It is not only about the fear of going to hell. The reason why you believer, you look up to Maranatha, Lord, come, is because we want Him to come for that 1,000 years. We want to go and reign with Him. You must hope and pray for the coming of Christ. Some of you, I remember a story Bishop Dak shared. Now, before he got married, he used to pray against rapture. Have you heard of that story? He said, you've not heard of that story? Oh, Bishop Dak, he confessed. He said, when he was young, he was not married yet. He was one of the people who were praying against rapture. He said, Lord, hold on. This thing, I have to also enjoy some. I have to enjoy this marriage thing. You see? Those of you who are praying against rapture, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Boy, are you praying against rapture? The Bible said we should say what? Maranatha, the Lord ought come. And the reason is that we hope in the second coming, not only for judgment, but for reward and to reign with Him. Are you not tired of this life? We want a better life. And it is only in the second coming of Christ that can guarantee that. So the believer must always learn to what? Hope in the second coming. That is how you keep your heart armor on, the helmet of salvation. That when they say you are hopeless, he said, don't worry. I believe in the 1,000 years of hope that is ahead of me. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. This is what it is. These are some of the teachings that believers must have. That is why you will not bite to what they do. The sword of the spirit. Last one. Then we will close. Amen. How to put it on. I've already told you how the weapons of the believer's warfare is. The sword is a representation of it. How do we attach the sword to what? Our armor. Number one, learn the scriptures diligently. This is where you what? You study. You are built on what? Doctrine. That's how you attach what? Your weapons to your armor. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Hide God's word in your heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Psalms chapter 119 verse what? 11. Speak God's word in faith. Always speak God's word. Let your word you speak always be the word of God. Speak God's word. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. And Jesus said, it is written. Let it be. Joe always say, it is written is always better than thou seest the Lord. Let it always be, it is written. I said, let it always be what? It is written. How to keep it on? Continue studying scriptures. Acts 17 verse 11. Practice obedience to the word. Practice what? Obedience. What you have been told, practice it. Be a practicing Christian of the word of God. Finally, use the word regularly, especially in prayer. Always use the word in what? In prayer. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Practicing of the word is James chapter 1 verse what? 22. This is how you keep the armor on. I pray for you that this journey of warfare that we face every day, you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to withstand. You'll be able to advance. Bow down your head and begin to pray that Lord, help me to stand. Help me to withstand. And help me to advance. It is not enough to stand. We must learn to what? Apply spiritual self-defense. No one will do it for you. No one will do it for you. The Bible said we are all. He said that no one. He said there's no intermediary. So we should all come boldly for the throne room of grace. Now we can find grace and what? Obtain what? Mercy. Lift up your voice and pray. See, there are things that are coming. If the believer is not fully armed in his armor and weapon, the believer will be so defeated. It is time to live beyond defeated Christian life. The life Christ gave us is a life of what? Victory. Victory is the life, victorious life. We are more than conquerors. That is what the Bible said. We are more than conquerors. And this can only be a reality when we have learned to put on the whole armor and also walk in the weapons of our warfare. We will always have active enemies coming after us. The devil will not cease and the devil will not stop attacking us. But the only way we will always prevail, the only way we will make mockery of him is we pray for you that you will stand, you will stand, you will stand. You will not be shifted, you will not compromise in the name of Jesus. And having learned to stand, you will be able to withstand. It is my prayer that you will be able to what? Withstand. And having learned to withstand, you can able to counter attack, advance and take grounds. May you advance and take grounds. Shanda kabrana masana kayaha. Oromoko shabala baba. Irande kabra sende lekedele besaya. En no shekataya. O rana kanda zano shebra baha. Ua tula. Aya o. Aya o. Ua tula. Aya o. Ua tula. Oh, let there be a cry in the spirit right now. Wadula. May the Lord keep you in the secret place. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. Shalene mekomra sabaya. Oronoko shebreneke. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Just breathe.